I was just living my life. But then life as I knew it was over. In 2003, I was arrested by the FBI. The government was seeking the death penalty. Every tale of slaying our proverbial dragons, of painful lessons learned, must start somewhere. This one begins here. 18 years of praying, studying the law, doing anything I could to scrabble myself out of that place. And now the moment's finally here, and I can't even believe it's happening. I can't even absorb the one simple fact that finally now is reverberating through me. I am free. Hello, everybody, and welcome to season 3 of the Ben Free Podcast. My guest for today is Lotto. He is an artist who has a background that is pertinent to our subject today. So I'm going to go ahead and let him introduce ourselves. Lotto, tell the folks how you got here.
Hey, how you doing, man? It's S4G Lotto. I'm tapping in with the greats. Bars behind bars. How you doing?
Good, man. Really good. Good to have you.
Yeah, great. Glad to be here, for sure.
So what do you have planned for us today? I understand that after our little segment here, you're going to do a little show for the folks?
Yeah, for sure. We got a lot coming today. Ready for the interview. Got a couple snippets we're going to have. It's going to be great.
Excellent.
Yeah.
So I read a little bit of the bio, and we had a conversation briefly before. So I understand that your journey started out more in the direction of sports, right?
Right. I was playing football back home. That was more my first love, honestly. I love football. It was more the dream. What I was pushed into, it kind of helped me get out of the direction of other things that were going on around me.
Like that saying, idle hands are the devil workshop.
Yeah,
Give them something else to do that's positive.
Yeah, for sure. It kept me busy.
What'd you play?
I actually played running back in high school.
Did you? Okay.
Yeah, I played running back. I played football. I played football, basketball, I ran track.
What was your favorite?
Football.
Yeah?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, football was...
I used to want to play football, and my dad wouldn't let me. He was too worried about me getting hurt, so I played soccer. Okay. And we ended up getting into, like, riots with Morningside and all this stuff. And I'm like, it didn't do any good. Whatever sport you play, there's dangers, you know?
Yeah, it is, definitely. Soccer's a good sport, too, though. Good money in it, too.
Yeah, they say you run, like, 8 miles in a game.
Yeah, that's a lot of exercise.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Probably don't run as much in practice as you do in football, though.
I don't know. Soccer's a lot of running.
Now, what did you, at that time when you were doing sports, you said it kind of kept you focused on one thing. What were some of the other things you were trying not to focus on?
Just a lot of different other things. You know, it's always easy to make a bad decision. You know, it's easy to make bad decisions. And it's always hard to make the right decision, you know. So just a lot, you know, where I grew up from, just a lot of different going, like different things that was going, you know. Not too much gang violence, but like a lot of just life, you know, just like low income. So when it's low income, you look other ways and try to find other sources to make revenue for, you know, your family. So it's just like, it's different. It's just different things you could really step into, you know, if you're not focusing.
What state was your hometown in?
I was in Georgia.
Georgia. Okay.
Yeah, Georgia. Yeah.
You still go back there much?
Yeah, I go back there here and there. I go see the family. Lately, I've been out here focusing on music. My brand, I got a clothing brand now. I've just been growing it.
Oh, nice. You're allowed to plug that, so go ahead if you like.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Y'all tap in. Stacking for Generations. We got so much merch on the way. Y'all definitely need to go check it out. I'll send you the link. It'll be on the bottom. For sure. Tap in.
Sounds good.
For sure.
Now, if you would, could you tell the story of how you got involved with music with this group? I know that you're now with AMG, right? So how did that come about?
I met the boss, Amy.
She can hear you. She's over there.
Yeah, I know. She's over there, right? I met her through a good friend of mine, G. Garen. I had went to a studio session with him. He introduced me to her. It was just good vibes, bro. You know, sometimes when you just meet some people, you can just just off rip, you know, if they're genuine, if they're good for themselves, you know what I'm saying? A lot of people.
That's how I felt about you know? Darren, actually.
Yeah.
We were here and he had to take a call because it was his boss, you know, his daughter.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, I got to take this.
Yeah, for sure. So but amazing. It's an amazing opportunity, man. So blessing to work with good people. Sure. Hard to find good people.
So yeah, and that's the thing is you can be doing any kind of work for any amount of money, but when at the end of the day, if you don't like being in the same room with the person you got to work with, it's not going to last long.
Never.
It's just if you feel like people are kind of piranhas that are trying to gobble up all the little extra bits of your energy they can get, it's not a good vibe. Mm. That's one good thing about this place. The coin is, it really is kind of a big family.
Yeah, for sure. That's what it's based off, relationships.
Our poor producer, Amber, and her delinquent pack of brothers, but she keeps us all in line, you know.
Yeah, that's a great group of people. I see it. I got a good thing going here, seriously.
Yeah.
It's a blessing to be here.
So what's some of the inspiration for your writing when you're, is this, I always like to ask people, is writing something you do because it's a job? Do you feel like, man, I just have to write this out to get it out, or?
Honestly, with music, it was fun at first. And then I actually started getting into it a little more, and I actually began to put my feelings in it, and it became low-key like therapy. So it wasn't, I never had to force it out. I just kind of let it flow, which genuine always just flows. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
So I wasn't trying to just push this image or push my music on anybody, just whatever, however I felt, I release it, and whoever likes it is going to, you know, see it, and it's going to continue to gravitate and continue to grow and continue to be what it's supposed, what it should be, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
That's what's, to me, the power of music, it's almost kind of similar to the power of smell. You ever smell something like, I don't know, night-blooming jasmine or the salt on the sea or something, it bring you right back to the
You'll never forget it.
Yeah,
it's for
like
sure.
Right to that, like it's, music will encapsulate an emotion. Like I can hear a song and be like, I was in seventh grade when I heard this.
Yeah.
You know, and it just captures everything and keeps it like alive in a little bubble.
Yeah, it does. It's crazy how I can snap you into a place or a thought or a feeling.
So you mentioned in the beginning about Bars Behind Bars, and as you know, this has been my, proud to say, kind of pet project. I've been teaming up with AMG and some other people to work on the project of essentially literacy through microphone, literacy through rap and poetry, and a lot of people are really clicking with that. There's a lot of momentum catching with that movement. So how did you come to be a part of the movement with Bars Behind Bars? You mentioned them. How did you hear about them? Tell me a little about that.
I actually heard of you through Amy, and she was just telling me, she had ran it by me and just telling me basically what was going on here. How are you trying to, how everything's trying to go far as in getting instruments within inside of a prison so people are able to work on their craft and actually work towards something. That's a goal, that's a job that can actually fund someone's home or other facilities, is, you know what I'm saying, eventually. And if they had all that time to put in and actually work and study, and it could really be life-changing for a lot of people, a lot of organizations, a lot of kids' lives, a lot of families.
And they used to have really a lot of excuses before for not having the equipment in there.
Yeah.
But and now, I mean, 13 months ago, I was in Valley State Prison where some of these guys are.
Yeah,
and
sure.
At that time, we had already just gotten Wi-Fi tablets. It's got a little camera on it. We can do video calling from the room.
Yeah.
The technology had been advancing and the permissions had been advancing. So at this stage, if they got people with tablets and a camera in the room, what's their real reasonable excuse
to not
give somebody to be able to record some sounds? Because it's no secret that there's plenty of people making billions of dollars around the world through music. So why is that not as legitimate of a vocational school as, say, plumbing or learning to do someone's nails or other kind of cosmetology? And all
Or cutting hair in there. It's no different.
And like you said, it's therapeutic.
Right.
I've noticed that. My current big project is I'm still trying to finish the book that my mom started. She wrote a book called Some Mother's Darling about her journey standing by me through the whole criminal justice juggernaut and all the pitfalls that were involved with that. And so many people were associating with that story, but she only wrote the first 147 pages. Mm-hmm. Then she was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. She fought it for a long time, but the chemo made her head fuzzy and she couldn't write. So she made me promise that I would finish the book. So it was pretty hard for me to do that. But after my case got overturned for the second time, it kind of felt like, you know what? I'm getting out of here. It's just a matter of time. So I was in LA County Jail again for my third trial. I've been spent 6 years in the county because I kept going back and forth because they kept overturning my case. And I wrote my 150 pages of that book with a 4-inch golf pencil, having to mail them to somebody else to type and working on it. But I changed the structure so it was like every other chapter, her, me, so one dual memoir, one story told from both sides of the bars,
right? Yeah, that's dope.
Like one of them was called White Lies because in her chapter, she went through all this crazy stuff. She tried to get into visiting. They're like, those are athletic pants. And she's like, they're jeans. How are they? Well, they look stretchy. She went through 2 hours of this and hassling and strip search. And when she shows up, I say, how are you? And she's like, fine. Me, that morning, I saw a kid getting beaten nearly to death, unconscious, a poor little black dude with a cop with his boot on his head telling him to stop resisting while the guy's unconscious and everything. And I come out like, what? And there's three of them. They're all bigger than me. There's a big crowd of people standing there. It's like, he said, you want some of this? I'm like, no. Well, I mean,
it's like you in the jungle, she in a field full of flowers.
Right. So and then we come back to visiting, and that same day, she's like, how are you? I'm like, fine. No, but we both aren't telling each other about all the stuff we're going through.
Right.
You know? So it was weird seeing that story, because some of the stuff she was writing about, I had never seen. But the reason I brought it up is, in order to finish her story, I had to write 9 chapters as her.
Okay.
Including the chapter from her perspective of her coming to prison to tell me she had cancer. And there was something, even though that was really hard, like you said, it became a therapy. It was like I had to kind of channel her. And when the words were coming out on the page, I knew it was exactly what she would say and what she did say. And by allowing art and words
and passion
to bleed through onto that page.
Yeah, for sure.
It allowed me to start to heal again. And I think music has that same power.
Yeah, for sure, definitely. It's very, it's powerful, man. Just able to be yourself and release your feelings. It's a, man, because sometimes, like, a lot of people stretch to try to get people to understand them. But once you can just put it on the song and just let the world hear it, it's like, man, it's life-changing, for real.
Now, where do you see yourself in 5 years? Seem like a man with goals. You got a business going separate for clothing, so.
Honestly, I don't know. I can't even put a cap on it. My life could change tomorrow. Life could change tonight, you know? So I just see myself thriving, growing, willing to learn, you know, networking. I just see great things. Clothing brand growing, music growing. I'm in a good position. Able to help people.
That's a big part, too.
Yeah.
When it starts getting too me,
yeah,
I got to put that, got to check on myself and think.
Yeah, for sure.
When I got my blinders on to focus on what I got to do, I'm not really thinking on the people around me. I got to stop and think, hey, how do we work together? How do we make this more of a we situation?
Yeah.
And that's been kind of what's cool about this movement. For me, with the Bars Behind Bars guys, I had been a literacy tutor when I was inside, and I'd done quite a lot of writing and publishing from behind the walls, which is actually how these guys found me.
Okay.
In fact, one of the guys got the job that I left when I got released.
Okay.
And so he had my computer and had a bunch of my writing. And he was like, what is this? Like, who is this dude? So he was reading all the stuff that I'd written, which is a little weird, you know, like not of him, but it was a weird feeling to have somebody reading because I had like journal entries and stuff. And I didn't know the stuff stayed on their little
tablet.
Cloud kind of drive forever. It was still on there.
That's wow.
Yeah. So, but he had been reading these things and then asking if I would help with some of the writing. And I thought that's so cool because one of the things I had published last was called To Be Heard.
Okay.
And it says, I now understand that the greatest need in humanity is simply to be heard. The need of the child is to be heard. The need of the victim is to be heard. The need of the poet is to be heard. I know why the caged bird sings, to be heard.
That's hard.
And you know, why do we need that? Why do we need that validation? It's like, people can say horrible things to you, but just, you know, you can say whatever you want to me and I'll adjust.
Yeah.
Don't ignore me, though.
Yeah,
like,
for
don't
sure.
Pretend when I'm invisible, it's like, takes your power.
Respect. You know, respect and get respect, for sure.
Now, you said you want to be able to help people. What are some ways that you can envision in the future being able to help people? What kinds of help do you want to give? Or, like, what's your target of people that you want to help?
I definitely want to help my family for sure.
Got to come first, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Family first.
And
any good Sopranos episode will tell you that.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, but sure. I want to help my family. I want to definitely reach back out to my own community and other communities. I really don't know what I would want to do because, like, when people need help, you have to come together and figure out what's the real problem. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
You just can't go offering help, and that's not really what you need the help in. So it's like I'd rather just come up, you know what I'm saying, have a group, or whenever when that time comes, be able to put something together and really figure out what's need to be done.
That's actually pretty insightful because most of the time, if somebody has had an ongoing problem,
for sure,
you could come to them and say, tell me exactly what you need to fix the problem. Well, I mean, if they knew what that was, they wouldn't be in the problem anymore.
Exactly.
They would have already done it, right?
Right.
So a lot of times, at least for myself, it's easier for me to see what other people need around me.
Yeah.
It's harder to apply that same logic to myself because they say you can't see your own ears. You're trying to look around at everybody else, but sometimes it's harder to take that same advice. So one thing that's been powerful to me about this show is that it's given me a platform and an outlet to really hear people's stories.
Because
I believe that stories change the world.
Yeah.
Everything from, it doesn't matter whether it's the Bible or the Quran or the Tao Te Ching, all these things are really about story.
Yeah, right.
It's the human story.
Right.
And I think when people realize that, life becomes kind of a matter of, I am in my own story right now.
Yeah.
If I step outside of that and look at me, do I like the main character in my story?
Right.
Or do I need to change? Or do I need to improve?
Right.
And I can thankfully say I no longer look at myself and say I need to change, but I always look and say I need to improve.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, hey, what was that? What are you doing there, dude?
Yeah.
You know, I step outside myself and
correct yourself.
Smack myself upside the head.
Sometimes I'd be like, live in your truth. I try to tell myself that, live in your truth. Like, if I be truthful every day, I won't look back and be like, damn, I wish I would have been truthful myself. So I just tell myself, like, living your truth.
Have you written about that?
No, I haven't.
See, that's living your truth. That sounds like your next track right there.
Yeah, we got a couple good things on the way. Y'all need to tap in. Tap the fuck in, for real.
For real?
Yeah, for sure.
We're trying to make an outlet for doing just that.
Yeah.
Now, you said that you met through Garen. How did you meet Garen?
Me and Garen actually met. We met a couple different places. We had met through a another friend. We both had a mutual friend. It's a guy, Juju. He's an artist too. Good guy. We actually had met through him. I believe we was in the club one night. Just had it outside, just networking in LA. You know, I just met him, just good vibes, and it just ended up clicking. Ended up going to the studio, going out to eat, just good things, you know, just good vibes, you know. And it just grew.
Kind of organically, just one thing led to another, just naturally.
The thing about it, I didn't even know he did music before I met him.
Oh, really?
It was all genuine. I didn't get his Instagram. I just had his phone number, which is, it was all that. And then one day he was like, I do music, right? And to find out, it's,
wow. Yeah, that was actually interesting to me because I've heard some of his stuff, but I didn't I didn't know who I was hearing, though.
Yeah, he's amazing.
It wasn't until I met him and started, I'm like, oh, that was you?
He's
that
amazing.
Was you? And I started, I put it on loop and listened to everything that, you know, Apple will play consecutively in a row.
Yeah.
And I was like, and that's, some people just have that quality, and that he's a good example of that.
You see him in the studio, you go in the booth, you sing, it's pure, like, good guy.
You got that.
Got
that
it.
Laser focus thing going on.
Got it.
I was actually talking to Amy on the phone with her in the studio, and she's like, well, Garen just kicked the engineer out of the chair, and he's kind of taking over everything right now, so I'm not sure where this is going right now, so this might be a while.
Yeah, he's a good guy. He's a good guy, though. He's like that.
So, now, what is your favorite, let me ask you a different way. What were some of the music that influenced you that kind of moved you to want to start doing music yourself? Like, what are your influences growing up or even more recently?
I kind of lit at a lot of different people. I always liked Future. Future always been one of my favorite rappers. I grew up listening to T.I. I grew up listening to like a lot of different artists. I caught a lot of different waves in the music chain. I like listening to like Jay-Z. I've been listening to Jay-Z, like, I'm speaking well. Jay-Z's speeches lately. I kind of like watching his speeches. So I kind of listen like to his music, the vision he has, or, you know, just.
He has made a lot of smart business moves, that man.
Yeah, for sure. A lot of good investments.
I just finished reading that 50 Cent book, actually, that Hustle Harder.
Okay, yeah.
And it's interesting because they always had their little, you know, conflict cross. But he talked about how beef and conflict and competition was healthy.
Right.
Like his beef he had with Kanye was completely engineered.
Yeah, yeah.
They were like, hey, look, I'm just noticing, why don't we just have a contest? So in the news, it's going to look like we're hating each other, but actually we're going to see who sells more records in the next 3 months.
Yeah, they building each other.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it made them both a billionaire.
Yeah, that's pretty valuable. And, you know, executive producing stuff. And that's a good way to think, though. You get money, like, okay, how do I make this next move? Am I going to expand out into clothing? Do I want to? And a big part of that is giving back. All of the top 100 richest people in the world, one thing true for every single one of them, all of them give to some kind of charity, give back, to have some kind of segment of their life that is about giving back. Because you can't really hang on. It's like God, or if you just believe in the universe, doesn't really like it when you're getting all these blessings and you're trying to hoard them all to yourself and not share with the other people around you.
Yeah, for sure. Now, you got to be mindful of, you could go back to any position that you was in quickly. God can give it to you quick, and he can take it.
That's for sure.
It's a...
You ever heard of this Christian group called Casting Crowns?
Casting Crowns.
They have this line, one line in there that says, "Today I feel like I'm just one mistake away from you leaving me this way." And I thought, man, it's like, sometimes I feel like that, you know? It's just like one mistake and things could be, it's like driving. Driving a car at 90 miles an hour, it's fun, but you can like bend over and pick up a cigarette or a candy you dropped or something. It could be all over with in a snap. That's why the Zen Buddhists teach about mindfulness. It's like, be mindful of what's happening, you know,
and what's around you and others too. I try to put myself in others' shoes too. Sometimes, I try not to do it so it hurt me, but I do it to understand them. You know.
Yeah. Seek first to be. It's one of those seven habits of highly effective people.
Yeah.
Seek first to understand, then to be understood.
Yeah, for sure.
And try to make everybody understand your point of view if you don't even understand the person you're speaking to.
Right. Yeah. For sure.
Have you heard, I imagine you couldn't have avoided it, but have you heard anything about the event we're going to do behind prison walls coming up in the summer?
Oh, yeah.
Bars Behind Bars?
Yeah, I heard about it. It's a great movement. It's a great idea. It's a blessing to be a part of it, you know, when I do get a chance. And everybody, you know, it's a blessing.
Right now we're looking at the end of June.
Okay.
I have to admit that I've been having some, like, minor PTSD flashback dreams about going to the same place I just left.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's
but
cool.
I just
gotta
keep telling myself I get to leave afterwards.
Yeah, you're blessed. You're blessed now. You're free. You're good.
It's not the same thing, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But it's funny in watching all these kind of connections. Like Mitch Jackson, he won the Pulitzer for he's the first formerly incarcerated person to win the Pulitzer Prize for his writing.
Man,
he won in 2021. And I went to Atlanta to the Free the Vote conference.
Okay.
And we were staying at Marriott Marquis. You been in there?
Okay,
Giant, 70 stories inside. So it's crazy looking geometrics, right? So they put me up in there for volunteering. So I mean, I didn't get paid or anything, but thus the volunteer, right?
Yeah.
But it was cool. They did some phone banking and talking, and they had a lot of, I did a little bit of speaking, and that was actually a really cool event. And at the end of it, Mitch Jackson was speaking, and I was like, oh my God, that's my hero right there.
It's crazy, yeah.
So afterwards, I went and talked to him, and he's involved with PEN America. He wrote a whole section of their book that's upstairs, the sentences that create us, crafting a writer's life in prison.
Okay, yeah.
And so it was weird seeing him there. So I took a photo and we got to send it to a mutual friend. And
It's big. It's
now
big
I get out here and I'm running the Instagram for Bars Behind Bars and it pops up and I see him on there and I'm like, oh, hey. So I texted him the picture of the both of us. I said, isn't that weird? We just bump into each other in Atlanta. And then here we are now in different states, both working on the same movement.
It's
in a way, it's not that weird. If you're all going to the same place, you're going to see the same people.
Yeah,
like I'm going to UCLA right now, and I don't make an effort to meet people, but eventually you've seen somebody 8 or 9 times, and you think, all right, well, obviously they got a class around here or something. Because you're going in the same direction, you're going to bump into the same people.
Eventually.
Like moving in the space and making the decisions you have made, we would have bumped into each other some kind of way anyway.
Anyway, eventually. Yeah, it's a blessing, man. It's good to bump with good people.
So do you know which songs you're going to do for the folks today?
I got a couple songs. I believe I'm going to do this new single I'm thinking about, ready to drop, Double Dip and Different Vibes. Do those two for sure.
What was the motivation for those?
Man, really just, I was different vibes. I was yearning for like different vibes at the time. It actually happened. It was just a good time. And Double Dip, it was just more, I needed a more exciting song. So it's something that the club's going to like. It's something the radio going to like. Something everybody going to like. You know, nice. It's just like, it's one of those. Yeah.
One of those kind of Black Eyed Peas moments where like, where you just got to get something started.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good vibes. Cool. For
excellent.
Sure. Yeah.
Well, we hope to have you back. We're going to be having some events here coming up. You'll be hearing a little bit about that, but appreciate your support. The Bars Behind sure. Bars guys appreciate you too.
Yeah, I appreciate you
coming
out. Yeah, for sure, thank man.
You.
It's a blessing to be here.
All right.
For sure.
See you soon.
Sure. Likewise.